You're listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast.
Go ahead and say, all right, all right, all right. If you got a Bible, turn with me, please, to John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, 33. The move you're afraid to make could be the one that changes everything. The Bible says, I'm sorry, I guess. If you've never seen a Madea movie, I'm going to probably shock you. But if you have, you know exactly what's about to happen up in here. So John 16, 33 says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. I like it. It's just real simple. It says that you will find peace in him, in Jesus. Not your job, not your bank account, not even your family, not even your wife, husband, not even any of that. But in him you will find peace. He promised that in this world you will have trouble. But then he adds, take heart. In other words, ain't no thing but a chicken wing. It's all good because he said, I have overcome the world. I know y'all celebrated last weekend, but for me, Easter is every day. Why? Because the tomb is still empty. There's a reason why it was a borrowed tomb. He was going to give it back so they could use it for someone else. He's alive, amen? Yes. And because he's alive, you can make a move. No matter what you've done, you can make a move. Now look, just so y'all know, I'm going to give you the quick version. You need to know who's talking to you today. Now I'm different. I'm not your normal preacher, pastor, evangelist, because I do stuff just a little. Tomorrow, I will be in your state capital, Tallahassee, Florida. Tomorrow, I will be at a high school called Leon High School. There's about 1,800 students in Leon. Every one of them will be in the gym, and they will go, please welcome Reggie. And for the next hour, I get to speak to all 800 9th through 12th graders at Leon. But you, some of you are like, man, what are you going to do? You get to preach? No, I cannot say Jesus. But he don't need his name spoken for him to show up. He has a way of doing what he's going to do anyway. I am called a motivational speaker Monday through Friday. I speak in public schools from elementary through college. The numbers are pretty cool. Every year I do 1.1 to 1.5 million students face-to-face around the world. And overseas, some of the assembly programs we have, they'll bring 8 to 12 schools in soccer, rugby stadiums, arenas. And I'll do one program at 8 a.m. with about 30, 40,000 kids. They'll leave and I'll do another one at 11. They'll leave, I'll do another one at 1:30. So I could be with 100,000 kids in one day. It's a message of hope. You cannot change your past, but you can change your future. You cannot change yesterday, but you can change today and the rest of your life. And if that's true in a public school, it's true here. You know what my favorite is? Elementary kids. You gotta love that. They think I'm Chocolate Shrek when I walk in. It's just the way it is. Everything's age appropriate. I do stuff. I play the saxophone. Man, oh man. If I drop, because I'm happy, clap along. The kids just jump up and start dancing. Teachers put their hands up. We can't keep them calm. You're not supposed to until I leave, and then that's your problem. It's just a party and a dance. One time I was with pre-K 4, which is 4-year-olds. This school, I don't know what made them do this. They had one school, 997 students, and everybody was pre-K 4. And they did an assembly program where they brought all of them in and gave me the microphone. It's on. It was like, can you do this? And the teacher's like, he gonna get killed. And I'm thinking to myself, I ain't losing because I got a secret weapon, J-E-S-U-S. Though I couldn't say his name, we danced, we played. Then I taught him to rap. I said, everybody repeat after me. Say, I can, you can, we can. I got your back, I got your back. Then I told him, do it again. I can, I said, but I never thought I could. And one kid goes, but why? Four-year-olds, they are like, they will ask you questions. He said, but why? I said, because I'm different from everybody else. He goes, but why? I said, well, you know when teachers take attendance and they say your first name and last name? Yeah, I didn't have a last name. Why? And you got 900 kids yelling at you. And I said, not only did I didn't have a last name, I didn't have a mom and I didn't have a dad. They go, you no, no, that's impossible. There's always one four-year-old with glasses. And we all know he either gonna be the president, a doctor, or a lawyer. And he's like, that is physically impossible, sir. I said, you're four. You should know that. It's four. I told him that my mom gave me away. You see, I grew up in the system my entire life. I got my last name when I was 13 years old. It was the first grade when my teacher took attendance, and I noticed by Friday that everybody had two names except me. I remember my parents telling me I was six. We're in the car going home, and I said, why y'all old? Don't ever ask, all right? Little brother, don't ask. If you think your people old, keep it to yourself. Take it to the grave, all right? When we got home, my parents put me at the kitchen table. Anybody ever been to the kitchen table? If you haven't, don't go. Look at me, little girl. If you don't smell food, run, baby, run, okay? Dude, I'm just here to help the kids, all right? My dad was like, son, there's a plan for your life. I said, yes, sir. My mom looked at me, said my favorite word. She said, baby. I like that. Whenever my mom said baby, my darkest night had a light. My cloudiest day had sunshine. No matter what I was going through, I could make it because mama said baby. I know. Y'all looking at me like big old brother love his mama. Yes. My mom said, baby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She started crying. My mom cried so hard that my dad moved chairs, held my mom for 10 minutes. Finally, my dad said, tell him, tell him. When my mom opened her mouth, she crushed me. The Bible says that. Morning, if you're hurting, this morning, if something's happening, you're just trying to put a mask on and get through a Sunday morning, the world tells you to put on a mask and hide. The world tells you to fake it till you make it. But you know what God says? I'm right there. I'm right beside you. I know, I know. It's not a time to ask why. It's a time to make the right move. Because the move you're afraid to make could be the one that changes everything. I kind of like the way a lot of you are nodding. Some of you are looking at me like, bro, you're pretty good at this speaking thing. I know. Like Pastor said, I'm old. I'm 61. I look good, though, because black don't crack. But I'm just saying, y'all, stay black, all right? Can I do that here? Okay, never mind, all right? But hear me when I say this. Hear me when I say this. Everybody has a day they wish they could forget. Everybody has a minute or a moment or a week or a month or years that they wish they could change. All my mom said was, baby, I'm sorry. I'm old because I'm not your mom. And my dad said, I'm not your father. My mom said, you have a brother. His name's Keith. You have two sisters, Annette and Jeanette. Your mom kept your brothers. Your mom kept your sister. But your mama said that you were a mistake and she hated the day that you were born. So she gave you away. And she gave you to me. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. Thank you for taking care of me. And I gave her a hug. I said, I got to go to bed. I got to go to school. Can I be excused? She said, yes. I went to my bedroom and I cried myself to sleep. From 6 to 13, I never said a word. But it was always in my head. I used to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning. I still wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Anybody here wake up at 3 o'clock staring at the ceiling? Word, I got you. Next time it happens, Uncle Reggie got you, all right? Oh, just so y'all know, when I start, I'm Reggie from Texas. But by the time I'm done, if you let me, I'll be Uncle Reggie up in your church. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And I hope it ain't 20 years before I get to come back again, Rocky. That was subtle. I like it here. I like it here. Hey, look at me when I tell you this. There's something very important you need to hear today. And I have to let you know. You got to know who it's coming from first. Dad, 13, 3 in the morning. My voice in my head said, nobody loves you, Reggie. Nobody cares about you, Reggie. If you were to disappear, no one would look for you. Reggie, you should give up. You don't belong on this planet. Just give up. I started crying in my bed because I wanted to give up on the gift of life. And that's when it happened. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy. My bedroom door opened. Look at me. If your bedroom door opens at 3 o'clock in the morning, run, okay? If we get, dude, forget scary movies. Who loves scary movies? All right, put your hand down. What's wrong with you people? You know why you like scary movies? Nobody ever told you the truth. I'm gonna tell you the truth. You know why Reggie don't like scary movies? Black people die first in scary movies, all right? I ain't going out like that, y'all. You know, I'm in trouble because my wife said, I might be watching. You need to behave today. I'm sorry. I tried. It didn't work out. That's when it happened. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy. My bedroom door opened. And it wasn't the It Clown walking in the door, all right? When the door opened, my foster care dad walked in. His name's Bill. Everybody say Bill. Bill was a school janitor to the day he died. Bill walked in my bedroom and he said, are you okay? I heard you crying. I said, how? His room's on the other end of the house. It ain't like I was doing that ugly boy cry. You know the one. It wasn't like that. Wasn't like that. He said, every day you hug your mom, but for the past 2 days you haven't. He said, every day you talk to me, but for 2 days, not one word. So last night and tonight, you were so sad. So after your mom fell asleep, I grabbed a pillow. And for the past 2 nights, I slept by your door. And this morning, I heard you cry. What's wrong? All I said was, I don't know what to do. He said, I'll never call you Reggie. I'll always call you son. And I'll love you till the day I die. And he did. Do you know why I'm here? Somebody love me. And I say it in schools, and I'm going to say it on a Sunday morning. I don't know why you got here. I'm just glad you're here. I don't know why you're watching, but I'm glad you're watching. Baby, I don't know why you ended up in jail, but maybe you're in jail just to watch Chocolate Shrek preach a sermon on a Sunday morning. But since you're here and I'm here, I just want you to know he loves you. Jesus cares about you. He put you in a position this morning to hear his voice. But you got to make a move. Everybody touch your neighbor, say, make a move. You got to make a move. You got to make a move. Where's that other church? Trent? Where's that? Where's that? Trent? Trenton or Trent? Trenton. Hey, Trenton. How you doing? They're looking at the screen like, you can see us? Yeah, I can see people in your home too. Sir, you should put on pants before you go to church, all right? You should never go to church in your boxers. Come on, respect. I'm just saying. I know something's wrong with me. But I have a good time. I got something for you. Listen, hear me out. Hear me out. I'll be honest. That morning, I realized somebody cared. It was the day that changed my life. But you know what he did? He said, let me show you something. I want you to go back to sleep, but let me show you something. My foster care dad, Bill the janitor, reached in his back pocket and he pulled out what I thought was his wallet all my years, 13 years on that planet. And I thought it was his wallet. It wasn't a wallet. It was a Gideon New Testament in his back pocket. He carried it everywhere. And I said, why do you carry that everywhere? He said, you never know when sin's going to come. But the word of God is my sword. So if I start reading the word of God, the thought, the action leaves me because the word of God is more powerful than anything else. So he carried it in his pocket so he wouldn't sin against God. It's the coolest thing ever. Saved me many times. But he opened it up and he said, Reggie, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And then he said, do you know what that word whosoever is? I said, no, I play football. And he said, let me do it again. And I'll never forget this. He said, Reggie, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that if Reggie believes in him, Reggie wouldn't perish, but Reggie would. I said, stop, stop. He can't love me. My own mama gave me away. He can't love me. I don't have a home. I don't even have a last name. How can he love me? And then he turned and he says, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. He said, it's your choice. It's your choice. And today I'm saying it's your move. It's your move. Now the only thing I can do right now, hey, go for it, bro. The only thing I can do right now is finish my sermon. But it's better when music starts again. I'm glad he stayed here. Watch this. In John chapter 20, verse number 7. It'll be up on the screen. It starts in the middle of a sentence, but it says, as well as the clothes that have been wrapped around Jesus' head, the clothes were still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Now let me do the other favor. Let me read this to you in a different version of the Bible. That's the NIV. Let me read it to you from the Message. But I'm going to start at verse number 3. If you're with me, say yeah. All right, watch close. It says, Peter and the other disciples left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciples got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter because Peter was slow. Stooping and looking in, he saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived after him, entering the tomb, observing the linen cloth lying there. And watch this. And the kerchief used to cover his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but separate, neatly folded by itself. Now, I read this last Sunday morning early before I went to Easter service. And I ended up writing something about that one simple thing. They wrapped Jesus' head all the way to his neck with this burial cloth. And I think it was as amazing. So we'll listen to what I wrote. Popular depictions of the resurrection frequently betray Jesus' emergence from the tomb as a dramatic, perhaps even chaotic event. Imagine a stumbling, weakened figure struggling to free himself from the grave clothes. That is common knowledge. However, the Gospel of John, around verse 20, describes the burial cloth neatly folded, lying in its place. This seemingly insignificant detail speaks volumes about the nature of Jesus' resurrection. The meticulous folding of the burial cloth suggests a deliberate, purposeful act. It far removes the image of a frantic escape. It speaks of a resurrection that wasn't desperate. It wasn't a struggle. It wasn't hard. Instead, he conquered death. He triumphed the grave, and he had time to fold his clothes before he left his house. Hear me now. Some of you are like, what does that have to do with me? Everybody has a day they wish they could forget, a day they wish it never happened. But you know what you got to do? Do what Jesus did. What did he do? He folded up death. He folded up the grave. He folded up the torment. He folded up the beating. He folded up the death. And you know what he did? He walked out of it. It's time for us to fold up our past, fold up our shame, fold up our sin, fold up what hurt us, and walk out in Jesus' name. He came to set the captive free. But it's your move. Because the move you're afraid to make could be the one that changes everything. But today you have to make a move. Today you have to make a choice. Today is your day to choose Jesus. This is nothing but a straight up salvation Sunday morning. I don't know how you got here, and I don't know why you're here, but listen, if you love sin, you should have left. If you love being nasty, you shouldn't have listened to me this long. But the Bible says, come to me, all ye who are weak and heavy burden, and I'll give you rest. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. He loves you this morning. That morning at 3 a.m., my foster care dad said, I cannot love you as much as Jesus, because he knew what you would do wrong and he still died for you. But there comes a day when a man says yes or no. And this morning, God laid this on my heart. See, I got to preach what God tells me, or he won't let me sleep. I love sleeping. So I'm going to do two things. Number one, there are two people in this room. I got to pray with you, and I got about 7 minutes to do it. Here it is. Number one, you're going through something very difficult. It's almost as if it's got you in the tomb. It's got you wrapped up, tied up. You don't think you can get away from it. Yeah, you love Jesus. Yeah, you're saved. But this thing is nagging at you. It's pulling you down. You know what it's time to do? By faith, take a stand. By faith, believe in God. By faith, say, I'm letting go and I'm letting him. That's who I'm praying for. Number two, you nasty. You're straight up nasty. And you need Jesus. And you've fallen for the lie that you're too nasty for Jesus to save you. Seriously. If he couldn't save you, you wouldn't be in this room. You wouldn't be watching this. You wouldn't be hearing this. But again, the move you're afraid to make could be the one that changes everything. So here's what we're going to do. Every head up, every eye open, everybody looking around. If you're going through a struggle, you're going through something very difficult, and you need prayer for that. You know if this is you. You know what that struggle is. Then you got 15 seconds. I'm going to start at 15 and go to zero. You got 15 seconds to stand up. Some of you are like, why am I standing? Because when you move, it's physical. When you pray, it's spiritual. But putting them two things together opens up supernatural to happen in your life and in your situation. They're already standing. No matter what campus, Trenton, you got to stand. In the prison, just stand. Unless they got you in chains and they're going to shoot you if you stand up. Don't stand up, okay? Just raise your hand, all right? Got it, ladies? I need to go there and preach sometime. That would be cool. Next time I come, can we do that? Y'all ever go in there? Can I go? All right, ladies. Hopefully you ain't there. You out by the time I get there, but. 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, in Jesus' name, 1. Hey, do me a favor. You see somebody standing, get up and just put your hand on their shoulder. You don't have to do nothing, but let them know you're with them. Let them know you're standing with them. I'll do the praying. Everybody pray with me. Jesus, I pray right now. God, you know you make a way where there is no way. You turn our darkness in the day. You're our joy in the time of sorrow. You're our hope for our tomorrow. Answer the cry of their heart today. God, some of them, it was a struggle just to get here. But God, now that they're here, open the windows of heaven on them and their situation. God, before they even leave this room, let faith rise up right now. Let them fold that hurt, fold that decision, fold that sorrow, and walk out in victory in Jesus. God, this week, let us all hear at the church of the miracle that took place in their life. God, touch them in Trenton right now as they stand. Touch them in the prison, God. God, let these ladies know, God, that you're real and you love them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, hug them and say, everything's going to be all right. Come on, come on. I got 3 minutes. Oh, this is good. I'm going to make it. All right, you may be seated. Look at me very carefully. I got to ask you, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know my King? Look at me. You've done it your way. Now let's try Jesus. You tried it your way. It didn't work. Now let's go with Jesus. And all we're going to do is Romans 10:9. We're going to ask with our mouth. We're going to confess that Jesus is Lord. But I want everybody to do it. If you saved, the Bible calls you a saint. I need every saint to do it, and I need every sinner to do this for yourself. Because listen to me. Every saint has a past, and every sinner needs a future. And that's where this happens. So everybody bow your head, close your eyes. Everybody say, all right, all right, all right. Come on, I want to hear this prayer that loud. Come on, Trent, help me out. Ladies in prison, help me out. Everybody say, Jesus, today, I choose you to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I cannot change my past, but I'm giving you my future. I'm making a move, and I'm giving you my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody say amen. Pastor, come here real fast. Just help me out real fast. Help me out real fast. Okay, I need everybody and the lead pastor at Trenton. You just go and stand up in the front of the room just real fast. Or a leader there. Or I'm just throwing this up in the air. So it's a cool, cool, cool. Whoever's leading this chapel at the jail, just stand up and get in front of the ladies right now. Here's what I want you to do. I want everybody in the room and every room to bow your head and close your eyes. Except for the person who's lead, who's standing up front. Here's what I need you to do right now. No one's looking around. When I count to three, I need everybody in this room who today needed to get right with God. Whatever campus, wherever place you're at watching this, you needed to get right with God. And you said that prayer and you meant it. I don't care how you feel, but you meant it. I want you on the count of three to look up, look at Pastor, and wave. When I count to three, everybody in the room, everybody in every room, there's somebody up front. If you're online, I just want you to put a waving hand in the comment section or thumbs up. are just yes. Either the one or that, just put it in there. I just want you to do that. And then pastor's going to pray for you. So here we go. Every head bowed, every eye closed. On three, you got right with God. You gave your life to Jesus today. Look up and wave at pastor. One, two, three.
Father, thank you so much for the ministry of Reggie Dabbs. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us today with your presence, with your word. God, I pray right now for those who have accepted this relationship, this forgiveness, this eternal life through Jesus Christ. And God, I'm asking you to continue to give them the strength that they need. Let them be bold in their faith so that they can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God, we know that we must not be ashamed, that if we're ashamed of you here, you'll be ashamed of us there. We are not ashamed. And God, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be known by your name as believers, as Christians. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.